Good morning, brothers and sisters. I think that perception is probably one of the most important things in our life. It's one of those things that we take for granted and don't really consider too often, and yet the contemplation of perception is across the board in regards to human endeavor. Philosophically, you may have heard the idea or the thought experiment that if a tree falls in the wood and no one is around to hear it, does it make a sound? That's a philosophical question in regards to perception. If there's no human to perceive the sound, is a sound made at all? Now, I find that, of course, a ridiculous argument. Of course it makes a sound. But these philosophers sometimes consider this. Even in quantum mechanics, perception is important. Hopefully I don't bore you with this short snippet, but some of you who may be interested may realize that superposition in quantum mechanics deals with this idea of perception. You may have heard of Schrodinger's cat. This is the thought experiment. They never tried this, but they put a cat in a box and a thing of poison and some type of little machine that could possibly break the bottle of poison and kill the cat. And they said, as long as you don't look into the box, theoretically the cat could be both alive and dead at the same time because you don't know. This has to do with quantum mechanics. Don't worry about it. It's not really important. But again, it's all about perception. How you perceive something in the world. Certainly psychology is almost universally about perception. Somebody who's struggling with anxiety or depression or certain issues in their life, they come to a counselor or a psychologist, and the number one thing that they're going to work on is their perception of themselves, of their jobs, of their friends or family, or of the world. And the reason perception is so important for us as individuals, across the board, is that from the first moment we become conscious, that's all we know, our individual perception. And we're constantly trying to evaluate and judge it, but it's really all we have. All we have is our way of seeing things from our position. This is why especially teenagers have a hard time with their parents, right? It's all about perception. They perceive things differently. This is why there are so many difficulties in culture and in politics. It's all perception. It's the number one problem in the world, especially because of the fact that our nature has been tainted by sin. So our ability to perceive reality, the truth, is perverted. The intellect is darkened and the will is weakened. And so we can't, on our own, perceive reality as it is. It's not possible. It will always be tainted by our corrupt nature, our sinfulness. And if that's the case, we're always going to make bad choices. We're always going to make mistakes. All because of perception. Now, perception is important. God designed us this way, that from within, we would recognize the truth outside of ourselves, and then come to know it and love it and hopefully follow it. But what do we do when our perception is distorted in this way? There's really not much we can do on our own. But people are still obsessed with their view of things. This is what I believe. This is what I think is true. As if that really matters. As if your perception or my perception is really an issue. Not that it's not important at all, but it's absolutely secondary to what is actually true. Because what is real, whether I perceive it or not. That's it. It's quite simple. Even if I had never existed, reality would still be real. The truth would still be the truth. So how do I come to perceive reality and truth as it is. Truth itself must be revealed to me. Now, we know truth to be God. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And so if he does not come into the world and reveal himself to us, we can never know it, period. That's it. But even that's not enough. Jesus comes into the world and he reveals himself, but we're still in darkness. And this is why he has to redeem us. He has to forgive us of our sins, because when he washes away sin and gives us the Holy Spirit, then what happens? We can begin to perceive truth. But what we're perceiving in that moment, even though it may be by his grace from within us, is ultimately reality as God sees it. And this is what's most important. Perception, when it comes right down to it, only matters if it's God's perception, if it's how God perceives things. Because he's the only one who perceives things as they are, as he made them to be. My perception, your perception, is irrelevant, absolutely irrelevant, if it is not in unity with his. So we have John again in the gospel today, coming and trying to prepare the Israelite people for the coming of the light, the Word of God, truth incarnate. And the message he preaches is very simple. Get ready, the truth is coming, and what you need to do to get ready is repent. Your sins get in the way. So as long as you do that, the truth will come to you. The truth will reveal itself to you. And that's why this day in particular, we light the rose candle. I wear the rose vestments. I mean, they're pink, but you know, we're supposed to call it rose. Because it's Gaudete Sunday. It's the Sunday in which we rejoice. Not because Advent is over and Christ is here, but because it's almost over and Christ is almost here. We don't rejoice because we feel joy. We don't rejoice necessarily because we can see all the wonderful things in our life. We rejoice because God tells us to. Because from his perception, salvation is coming soon. That's why we rejoice. And that's not easy for us, because typically we only feel one thing or another based on our perception, not God's. Yeah, fine, Jesus may be coming soon, but I'm not feeling it, Lord. That's what we say. I'm not ready for Christmas. I'm stressed out. I'm anxious and worried. So I'm not ready to rejoice, Lord. Sorry. As if God is concerned with your perception in that way. He has told you to rejoice. He has told you he is near. That should be enough. Now, that doesn't mean suddenly your feelings are just going to submit to his will, but rejoicing is not an act of the emotions. It's an act of the will. You rejoice because you choose to believe in him. You rejoice because his words are true. And I want to share with you how I struggle with this myself in my own prayer life. So since the 90s, I've been praying the breviary. And if you're familiar with the breviary, it's a set of books that a priest has to pray every day, 5 different hours a day. Now, it's not actually 60-minute hours. They just call it hours. It can take anywhere from 5 minutes to 10 or 15 minutes each one. So I have to pray that 5 different times throughout the day. And every priest, every bishop, even the Pope, says the same prayers each day throughout the world. The prayers are centered on the Psalms. And truly, the Psalms are some of the best daily prayers you can pray. But the tricky thing about the Psalms is they contain every possible human emotion and expression. Everything. Absolutely everything. It's all in there. It's 150 of them. So the difficulty when praying them every day is you're not always going to feel personally what the Psalms themselves are expressing. So there could be a day in which I'm having a really good day. Everything's going well, I feel great, no major pressures, and the psalms I'm praying are like the psalms on a Friday. So they're very penitential, and they're very, oh, I'm abandoned by the Lord, and I'm suffering at the end of my life, and I'm not feeling it, you know? Sorry, I'm just not feeling it. But what I have to strive to do in that moment of prayer is set aside my feelings, my perception, and my personal experience, and enter into the prayer. And that's not easy. I don't start weeping necessarily. But that's the struggle. I have to try to perceive from God's perspective in prayer at that moment. Because that's what I'm supposed to be doing when I pray the Psalms. I don't come to the Word of God with my own feelings. I come to the Word of God seeking the truth. And that's difficult. And it's equally difficult when it's the opposite. When I'm having a really terrible day, when I'm stressed out and I don't want to be in prayer at that moment, and the psalm is like, rejoice in the Lord, he's wonderful, everything's great. Again, not feeling it. But I have to choose to set aside my perception, my feelings, my experiences, and say, this is what the Lord wants me to pray right now. This is the truth as the Lord is giving it to me at this moment. And that's always the challenge in the spiritual life. And you'll find if you want to grow in holiness and you do not conquer this hurdle, you will not grow. If you can only relate to God based on how you feel in any given moment, then you'll never advance in the spiritual life, period. All of the saints will testify to the exact same thing. You have to learn to set aside your own personal experiences and feelings, and meet God where he wants you to be. But ultimately, isn't this what each of us must learn to do in loving our neighbor? The number one problem in families and in society is, well, you don't agree with me. You don't know what I'm feeling right now. That's a great thing that we like to say. And we get all huffy and angry. And so there's no love. Until I can die to myself, as we're taught theologically, and put the other first, how will I love? And if I can't do that with God, how will I ever learn to love him? So in your prayer, it's very important you practice this particular virtue of self-denial in regards to your own feelings, your own perceptions, and strive to perceive from God's view. Try to experience, try to enter into either the joys or the sorrows that he is asking you to meditate upon. That's why the rosary can be such a good prayer. You could be praying the sorrowful mysteries, and yet you're in a good mood. So you enter into the mystery. But today, in a particular way, our Lord has asked you to rejoice. He says, rejoice. The Lord is near. Doesn't matter what you're feeling. Doesn't matter what you're going through. The Lord has given you a command. And so that's what you give back to the Lord today, regardless of your feelings. You rejoice in his goodness. Rejoice in the coming of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.